Do we finally have an answer to weight and mortality?
What about trends in thyroid cancer in the United States?
Why it's really important to have your infant vaccinated for the flu.
And how many people with normal weight have risk factors for heart disease or diabetes?
That's what we're talking about this week on PodMed, the weekly look at the medical headlines from Johns Hopkins. Posted on April 7th, 2017, I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang, professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins, president of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso, and dean of the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine.
Rick, I think we should start first with a publication that was in both pediatrics, and it was using data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's relative to the importance of having one's infant vaccinated for the flu, and since we're still seeing cases of the flu nationally, it's particularly timely.
If you look at surveillance for what are called laboratory-confirmed flu-associated deaths in kids, since about 2004, it's shown that most deaths occur in unvaccinated children. Well, what these authors did is they tried to assess whether the flu vaccine actually reduced the risk of flu-associated deaths in both children and adolescents. So they conducted what's called a case cohort analysis. They looked at the vaccination uptake among laboratory-confirmed flu-associated deaths and compared that with what the estimated coverage was in different pediatric cohorts around the United States. What they found out is that only about a fourth of the kids who died from flu actually had a vaccination. Furthermore, when they looked at how effective the vaccine was, it looked like in high-risk kids, kids that had neurologic abnormalities or genetic abnormalities that were a higher risk for death, the vaccine was 50% effective in preventing deaths and about 70% effective in preventing deaths in kids that weren't considered to be high risk. Having said that, even among the high-risk kids, less than half of them received adequate vaccination.
Clearly compelling evidence for why parents need to go forward and get their infants vaccinated. And of course, previous research has shown us that even if someone gets the flu having been vaccinated, it's a milder case.
Absolutely. In the broader sense, there are parents that are concerned about vaccination in general, and these are preventable deaths in sometimes otherwise healthy kids, but even in kids that are somewhat at higher risk. And I think it's a travesty when we know the vaccine can be effective in reducing deaths in this otherwise healthy population.
Great take home. And I would say, hey, parents, model good behavior. Go ahead and get vaccinated yourself and then bring your children along for the vaccination experience. Let's turn to Annals of Internal Medicine. A couple studies here that are really interesting. Ongoing controversy, fit or fat, if I'm overweight or obese and I exercise really hard, can I reduce my mortality risk? We've reported on that so many times. Maybe now we have some final words on this.
There have been some controversial studies that suggested that there was not a relationship between being overweight or obese and increased mortality. There's some concern that there's this phenomenon called reverse causation. That is, maybe the fact that there isn't an association is as people develop terminal illnesses or have chronic conditions, these are associated with people losing weight. So if you look at mortality related to weight, perhaps you're not seeing a relationship because individuals have lost weight at the time they die. So perhaps a better way of doing this is looking at the maximum BMI indexes and see if there is a relationship between that and mortality. That would take this reverse causation out of the equation. And that's what these investigators did. They looked at over 225,000 men and women, of which there were over 32,000 deaths observed over a period of 12 years. And they had body mass index for these individuals during that longitudinal study. When they looked at mortality, they in fact confirmed that if you use a single BMI measurement, it doesn't appear that being overweight or obese increases your risk. But if you look at the maximum BMI, then in fact there is a relationship. Being overweight or obese using a maximum BMI is associated with increased risk of death, and specifically an increased risk of death from cardiovascular disease or coronary heart disease.
I would love to be able to say that I think this is the final word on this subject. I believe that we're going to continue to have controversy relative to it, where people are going to say, okay, I'm overweight, but I really work out hard and I'm in good cardiovascular shape. I don't really believe that I have an increased risk of death.
Well, I think both components end up being important. There's clearly a relationship between fitness and mortality. But I think this study suggests that in addition to that, there's an association between weight and mortality as well. So the ideal situation is to be fit and not fat.
On that note, let's turn to the other study that's in Annals this week. This is a look at very interesting data and findings looking at cardiometabolic risk factors and ethnicity.
If you're overweight, we know that it increases your risk for risk factors for heart disease and diabetes. About 40 to 50% of people that are overweight have these risk factors. If you're frankly obese, as many as 70% of the individuals have these risk factors. Things like increased fasting glucose or low HDL cholesterol or high triglycerides or hypertension. They're associated with obesity. But the real question is, what percentage of individuals with normal weight have these risk factors? And by the way, does it vary by ethnicity or gender? So the investigators looked at over 7,000 individuals from two different studies. These included Caucasians, Chinese Americans, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and South Asians. And they looked at the individuals, not that were overweight or obese, but those that were normal weight. And here's what they discovered. Nearly one in three individuals that have a normal weight have two or more of these cardiometabolic risk factors. About 20% of Caucasians with normal weight have two or more of these risk factors, whereas about 40% of South Asians or Hispanic Americans have two or more of these risk factors with normal weight, and about a third of individuals that are either Chinese Americans or African Americans.
And as you suggested, what it says is we can't just use weight alone as impromptu screening.
If you look specifically at certain populations, again, South Asians and Hispanic Americans, if you use the weight to decide whether you're going to look for these risk factors, you're going to miss 40% of individuals. So we need to be more vigilant, not only in looking for these risk factors in people that are overweight or obese, but in all individuals and with regard to specific races or ethnicities.
And I think this furthers, of course, our approach toward personalized medicine.
Yes, and it's important for the listeners to realize is these differences were not the result of age or gender or educational level or levels of exercise or smoking status or even where the body fat was located. These are truly differences not explained by those issues or factors, which suggests it is genetic in background.
And that's the one I'm going to talk about on the blog this week. Finally, let's turn to the Journal of the American Medical Association, what looks like a true increase in the incidence of thyroid cancer.
We've talked about thyroid cancer in previous podcasts and have identified for our listeners that the incidence has increased substantially over the last 40 years. It looks like there's been about a 200% increase in the reported incidence of thyroid cancer. There are two possible explanations. One is we're just doing a better job of picking it up at an earlier stage. The incidence hasn't increased, it's just that our screening has allowed us to detect it. And by the way, if the screening is too sensitive, we would have picked up cancers that were relatively indolent, that maybe didn't need to be treated and never would have caused an issue. Taking out someone's thyroid and treating them isn't beneficial. Conversely, maybe the incidence is increasing. And if that's the case, one would expect to see not only a report in the incidence of it, but it would be confined not only to the small cancers, but to the larger ones, and we'd expect to see an increased mortality associated with it as well. So to identify which of these two is it, are we catching it earlier or is it actually on the rise? The authors looked at over 77,000 patients over about a 39-year period. And here's what they discovered, is that the thyroid cancer incidence actually increased on average 3.6% per year. And there was also an increase incidence of mortality, about a 1.1% per year increase in mortality. In addition, an increased incidence of detection of metastatic thyroid cancer as well. And this suggests it's not because we're screening better and picking it up, but that something is actually increasing the incidence of thyroid cancer over the last four decades.
Any speculation as to what that something might be?
Well, we can speculate. We know, for example, exposure to radiation increases the risk during childhood. If, for example, kids are getting more x-ray procedures, the thyroids are being exposed to ionizing radiation, that can do it. We know there are certain environmental chemicals that do it as well. We also know that obesity is associated with it, and actually smoking protects against thyroid cancer. So as the obesity incidence goes up and as smoking decreases, the risk of thyroid cancer can go up as well. So any one of these three things are possible explanations, but again, it's all speculative at this point.
Does this suggest to you that we ought to establish some kind of a screening protocol for thyroid cancer?
And in fact, because people were concerned that we were screening and finding cancers too early, there has been some people have said, well, we just need to stop screening for it. This actually has me concerned that we actually ought to continue screening for it. And in addition, try to find out the background reasons of why the incidence is actually increasing.
Mm-hmm. On that note, that's a look at this week's medical headlines from Johns Hopkins. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang. Y'all live well.